Now turn with me, please. This is a little Bible study that we'll share in the next few moments together on sleeping. Now, if you're a sleeper in a congregation, wake up, get your Bible, you're going to need it. I want to share with you some beautiful things here that are contained because we see in this piece of Scripture, because we see the change in the Apostle Peter. Peter has led quite a life. He's denied his Lord Jesus. He's been over enthusiastic. He's done all sorts of things. But look with me in Acts of the Apostles 12, please, and down in verse 6. When Herod would have brought Peter forth, the same night Peter was sleeping. Or the Amplified New Testament puts it this way. The very night before Peter was sleeping. Peter was sleeping, though he was chained to a soldier on each side. Peter was sleeping, though he was confined by four quaternions of soldiers. Peter was sleeping, though he knew that James, the brother of John, had had his head chopped off just a day or two before. He was sleeping, even though he knew that Herod at Easter was going to take him out and make a public example of him in front of all the people. Peter was sleeping. I remember years ago, and if you young men and women have never read the book, you ought to find it and read it. Years ago, when I was about 18, well, that's about 400 years ago, I think, but when I was about 18 and in the army, I discovered in a Christian Serviceman's Center a book. Now, I discovered several books. One was about Hudson Taylor. Another was about Jonathan and Rosalind Goforth. And I was very impressed with these missionaries, but then I was impressed by a young couple around whom this book was written, and it was their story of John and Betty Stamm. Some of you will remember the story and how it was that in the morning they were taken out and their heads were chopped off by the Chinese. Or was it the Japanese? Or was it the Mongolians that came into China? But it was in that land of China that they lost their heads. And their baby was left in the bed. That baby, now I'm told, is getting on in years. Must be almost as old as me. And I have had the privilege of meeting at one time the parents, I believe it was of Mr. Stamm. Have you ever thought of what might take place when this country gets all worked up? When things start falling apart, have you ever wondered whether you'll sleep the night before? Have you ever wondered if you knew that you were to suffer for Jesus' sake, whether you'd have a good night's sleep before? And let's look at the Apostle Peter just for a few moments and discover that this man was continually sleeping. He had a natural ability to sleep when he should be wide awake. But we discover in this 12th chapter, his sleep is of an entirely different kind. First, we discover the sleep of unripe experience. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 9. He has an unripe, if you'll allow that word, an unripe experience. First of all, we discover in verse 32 of Luke 9 these words. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. They were heavy with sleep. But let's look at the experience. The experience is simply this, that Jesus was being translated or transformed in front of them. It's called the transfiguration, the day when the glory of God shone in the body of the Lord Jesus. And there appeared Moses and there appeared Elijah speaking with Jesus about the fulfillment of the prophecy and the fulfillment of the law in the life of Jesus and his crucifixion. And the disciples, look at it for yourself in verse 32, Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. They had an unripe experience. There are three things here quickly to understand. Peter had very recently made a great and grand confession. Look at verse 20 of this chapter of Luke's Gospel 9. Verse 20, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Jesus is saying this. And Peter answering said, the Christ of God. Now, he knew something, for Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Look at verse 28, and listen to Peter. "It came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings that Jesus took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray." And what happened? Verse 32 tells us they went to sleep. Now, Peter was converted, there's no doubt. And Peter was right with the Lord, there is no doubt about that. But Peter could not pray, for his experience with Jesus was unripe, and he continued to fall asleep. And there is that type of sleep. The second thing to notice here in verses 27 through 36 is the transfiguration itself. The Lord Jesus wanted to reveal more of himself, more of his work. But they slept all the time he was revealing himself. He was revealing his glory to these men, and they went to sleep. How many Christians today could have the revelation of the glory of Christ? Instead, they sleep. How many people in our own congregation have a sleepy mind of an unripe experience with Christ? The third thing I want you to notice here very quickly is simply this: what they must have missed. Look at verse 32 one more time with me, please. And you'll discover there, "And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. When they woke up, they realized what they were missing. A great deal of glory was taking place. A wonderful thing was happening, and they were missing it." It was a church that I was working in, and the congregation was a very sleepy, fragmented congregation at first. It was very necessary for me to work as a shepherd to pull these people together and to cause them to laugh at their problems themselves so that they could understand that there was much more in store for them than just bickering and quarreling and nonsensical things that go on in congregations. But there were some people that said something like this: "You can't do it because it's never been done before." And you know what I had to say to those people? I had to say this: if you come with us, you'll enjoy the fellowship and become rich in the things of God. But if not, we're not going to be held up by you. You'll have to miss the blessing. And one man, after a couple of years, came to me and he said, "Hey, preacher, I want back. I've been missing what's going on." But he had not missed a single service in that congregation. Every time the doors of the church were open, he was there. But he had missed something. He had been left behind. He said, "I was left behind." And that's his testimony to this day. Make sure you're not one of those people who sleep when the glory is passing by. Look at verse 31 with me just for a moment too. "They who appeared in glory," verse 30 we better look at, "and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." The disciples would have listened had they only heard and listened to what was being said. They would have understood what was taking place at Calvary with greater understanding. Instead, they went into the Calvary experience with a great deal of blindness. They weren't listening. They were sleeping. Look at verse 33 with me. "It's surely no wonder that people, that Peter and people like Peter," to use the expression of verse 33, "not knowing what he said." A lot of people don't know what they say. My dad used to go to sleep in the congregation, and I would, and then he was a deacon, and the pastor sometimes would say, "Would deacon so and so close in prayer?" And so I'd wait for the preacher to get a little way in his sermon, give my dad a nudge, and say, "He wants you to pray." My dad would stand bolt upright and start praying, and the sermon was only a little way in. Of course, I couldn't sit down for a long time, but it was worth it. It was fun, just for that moment. Be very careful that you don't end up as the people in the congregation really not knowing what you're saying. And you say it because it seems that you should say something. The person that is in tune with the Lord Jesus is not sleeping when the Lord Jesus is revealing glory, is not unaware of the presence of Christ. Now, the second thing I want to share with you, I'm going to ask you to turn to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Mark and chapter 14. And I want you to understand that the Apostle Peter may appear to be getting a bit of a lambasting here this morning, but he isn't really. In this study, we have to understand that what we're doing is revealing the attitude of a man that completely changed. Look at verse 37 of this 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and we discover, "He cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou?" Here in this second experience, we discover the sleep of an unfaithful life. Peter was converted, there's no doubt. But he had been warned of a weakness that he had. Look at verse 29. Let's just go back here. Verse 29, "Peter said unto him, Although all be offended, yet will not I. I'm not going to be offended about you, Lord." And look at verse 30. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Ah, but look at the next verse. "And he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." I'm not going to deny you, Lord Jesus. I won't do it. Yet Jesus warned him, before the cockerel is crowing at dawn, this morning, this very night, during the night, you will deny me three times, Peter. Not me. So Jesus takes Peter up to a place called Gethsemane, and he says, "Now watch and pray with me," and Peter falls asleep. He is unfaithful, and his sleepiness reveals it. If you're not in prayer, you're an unfaithful Christian, period. Samuel said years before, "I will not sin in ceasing to pray for thee." And if you and I are not in prayer, we're exhibiting enormous unfaithfulness towards God. And I don't mean just praying, "Oh, God bless mommy and daddy, God bless the boys and girls and the missionaries," and all that sort of thing. I mean sitting down and spending time with God in prayer. A communion between yourself and the Lord Jesus. The second thing here we need to understand is this, that Peter was a loyal supporter of Jesus. He was very loyal, but he slept. He was a very loyal person. Reread for yourself verses 29, 30, and 31. He was very loyal to Jesus, but he slept. And that made him unfaithful when Jesus needed him to be in prayer. He wasn't available for prayer. He was in sleep. The third thing we need to understand is what he missed through his unfaithfulness. What joy to the Lord Jesus Christ had Peter stayed awake. Look at verse 37. "When he cometh, he findeth him sleeping and saith, Peter, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you stay with me?" He missed something. What a joy to the Lord Jesus it would have been to have had this young man praying with him. What strength our Lord Jesus would have experienced had this young man gone on praying. What strength Peter would have had to have warded off the temptation that was to come to him had he been praying, had he watched and prayed. Look at verse 38. "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." We often think Jesus speaks this of himself. We often think Jesus is speaking of his own experience. He's prepared to die. We come up with the discussion, Jesus is prepared to die, but he's cringing from the experience of it. The spirit is willing, it's the flesh that is sort of withdrawing. But look at the context. He is speaking to Peter, and he is saying, "Peter, understand, I understand you. Your spirit is saying, I'll go to death, I'll go to jail, I'll do anything. I'll never deny you, Lord Jesus." But your flesh goes to sleep. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's not speaking of his own experience. He's speaking of Peter's experience. Jesus never cringed from the cross. Jesus never withdrew from the cross. But Peter and Christians withdraw from the communion with Christ in prayer. And it's because the flesh is such a powerful unit within the confines of the soul and the spirit and the body. Now I can get to preaching right now, so I better go on with this. Now we turn into Acts and chapter 12 and verse 6. And especially in this verse 6 of the 12th chapter of Acts, we discover a sleep of unquestioning trust. Now notice the difference. This is the same Peter, but he has unquestioning trust that God is going to work all things out. He believes already, though it's not yet written, that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And he knows by this time he is most definitely called according to the purpose of God. This is an entirely different kind of slumber. First of all, it is in the presence of danger, yet Peter has perfect calm. Secondly, it is in the eyes of God, because there is a perfectly pardoned heart in Peter. And thirdly, it is in the consciousness of daily grace. Here we discover a pure conscience before God. Even though he denied the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus gave him opportunity. And John 21, the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, tells us that the Lord Jesus asked him three times, "Simon, lovest thou me?" "Yea, Lord," was his reply. "Thou knowest I love thee." Three times. But three times he had said, "I don't know this man." Now three times he is able to get his conscience purified simply by repeating, "I love thee. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee." It's important, for no wonder it is written of Peter in verse 9 of this chapter, "He went out and followed the angel, and wist not that it was true that was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision." Such is the attitude of many a person who is trusting the Lord Jesus. It is incredible what our God will do when we follow him and we trust him. Peter was so yielded since Pentecost that he could mistake the reality of the deliverance and not be disturbed. And not be disturbed. Isn't that beautiful? There are many scriptures I would like to lead you to, but I must go on and finish this little study. There are three episodes in Peter's life that show us a lot of teaching. And these three episodes we've just looked at. Notice God's constant responses and God's constant purposes are always worked out. Two things here. God's purposes of simply using daily experience to train us. A daily experience. For Peter, it was a daily experience to be arrested and thrown in jail, to wait for your head to be chopped off. For such was the time in which Peter lived. It was a time when men hazarded their lives for Jesus. The day-by-day training, the training that comes in your life, how you're responding to that training. God is on his throne. He hasn't left you to the wolf. You're a lamb. He holds you in the hollow of his hand. He'll not let you go. So horrendous things take place and dreadful things come your way. But my dear friend, be excited to know this one superb fact. Daily training is taking place. A child is born to a family. And a child learns daily. That's not a bow wow, it's a dog. It's not a horsey, it's a horse. It's not a pussy, it's a cat. You teach children daily their vocabulary, and soon they say a cat, a horse, a dog. They speak of these things in the proper idiom. Of course, if you teach them the foolish way, they only have to relearn later. And so when the train goes by and it was a choo-choo, do you remember that, you old people, when the steam locomotives used to go choo-choo? It's a choo-choo train. I remember my dad looking at an aunt that taught me that and saying, no, it isn't. It's a train. So I always knew it was a train. And so did our children. Oh, we took a lot of fun out of their lives. The purposes of God of showing glory, the glory of the Christian life in every experience and circumstance. There's a lot of glory. Hey, don't you think it's fun to be a Christian? Don't you think it's the most marvelous thing that's ever taken place in your life? Well, if not, my dear friend, you sadly missed what it is that the Bible is teaching us about Christianity. It is the most exciting thing to wake up in the morning and think, hey, what will God do with me, through me, by me this day? How will God's day work for me today? It's an exciting thing to discover that in every nook and every cranny is God speaking and communing with the Christian. Another thing I want to point out to you, God's very simple conditions. Now there are some very simple conditions. First is that we open our spiritual eyes and see instead of closing them in sleep. You can pretend the community is not around this church, and you can pretend because they're not of the same color or because they don't speak the same language that we don't have a ministry to them. You can close your ears and eyes and be asleep if you want to. But my dear friends, they are there and we are here and we have the book of life. The second thing, we are to be faithful to the present light, even as we look towards that which belongs to the perfect day of Jesus Christ our Lord. In Acts 26:19, there are some beautiful words penned. Dr. Luke says, whereupon, he's recording what the Apostle Paul said. He's recording the beautiful testimony of Paul, and he says, whereupon I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. The Apostle Peter slept beautifully when he was incarcerated. He slept without any no-doze in the evening of his execution. He slept the sleep of a person that was trusting Jesus as his Savior, as his Lord, as his communicator, and as his very dear friend. He was safe in the arms of Jesus, for he was close to his gentle breast. That's where Peter was, and he slept peacefully. He'd had the sleeps when he should have been seeing the glory. He'd had the sleeps when he should have been aware of what could take place. He had had that time. This was a new time. Confidence in Christ. Where are you today? Where are you? I pray that you are where Jesus would have you to be. Let's just bow in prayer. Our Father, we say to thee only to be what thou dost want us to be. We say to thee right now, Lord, do thou wash and do thou cleanse, do thou revive, do thou awaken within us the anticipation of being in the center of thy will. Oh, Father, bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen.